Yeah, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show of the champions of the local comic book shop, broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duraglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, Chris and I gather here every week to discuss the world of comic books and how they affect you, the listener.
Sounds good.
Adversely,
awesome.
Adversely or...
Adversely, sure. I don't know.
It's, maybe, but... no, we hope the knowledge Chris and I spew... Will help you.
So you know what? There's the you know what? Well, like, before we even get started here, I got to ask you. You and I were looking at books today, and we're talking about old comics and stuff like that. How do you think the comic market is in general these days? I mean, I think this is an important discussion. Uh-huh. I don't want to spend too long on it, but you know, I think we should talk about that very briefly before we even get into new books.
Well, old or new, obviously new comics are suffering lately, and everybody knows that. It's one of those things where comic shops having it tough with the new comics.
Right.
You know, everybody's talking about the troubles at Marvel. You know, DC, you know, for all that they're doing right, still seems to be a one-trick pony. You know, anything Batman... seems to be okay, and then you know the other stuff, who knows, right? So that's tough. I mean, the back issue market is healthy on the high end and just getting worse on the low end.
Right.
So it's like penny stocks on most comics.
Yeah.
And then the really good comics are going through the roof.
Right.
And it's just differentiating which comics are really good, where the trends are going. The trends right now in old comics seems to be covers.
Whereas
10 years ago, there was a huge run on first appearances. Massive run. Any first appearances.
Right.
There was spec on anything first appearance of anything. You know, Ambush Bug first appearance got play. Right? Because it was a first appearance. Right? And that's kind of run its course. And now the blue chips are still continuing to rise, like your Amazing Fantasy 15.
First appearance of the Hulk.
A Hulk, Wolverine,
yeah.
Batman, all that kind of stuff. But all those also runs kind of have... sputtered a bit. Whereas now it seems to be covers. That's the latest trend over the last couple of years is getting a unique cover. And,
right.
and most of those are coming out of the golden age where there were really no rules back then on the type of covers that can be produced.
Yeah,
graphic and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, somebody put it to me, before, you know, comic books have basically become... a framed stamp.
Yeah.
Basically what it is. Because once they're encapsulated in that graded thing, that's all you can look at is the cover.
Right. And so now we'll get into this a little bit more, but grading, for those of you who don't know, becomes a big part of collecting comics.
Mm-hmm.
And once you grade it, like it gets graded and it gets basically encased in plastic.
Yeah.
And then you can't really read it anymore.
But the funny thing is about that, Chris, is it's such common sense now,
right?
To say, you know, even within a run like Spider-Man, or even within a run like a modern run that hardly has anything worth anything,
yeah,
or even within a run like Archie in the 60s and 70s, which aren't worth anything per se,
right,
except specific covers,
right.
Once grading CGC started coming online, when 2002, let's say, you know, that's 15 years ago, and this trend started, I'm going to say, 2-3 years ago.
Right.
Well, when you put the two and two together, we all should have seen this as a brewing trend.
Totally.
Well, once you've encapsulated a comic, all you can see is its cover.
Right.
Perhaps 10 years ago, you should be going, I'm going to buy every great cover I see.
Yeah.
Because they're not getting a premium
right.
in 2007.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But they are now.
Yeah.
Right? And so now it's like, duh.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Why didn't I see this
coming?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I know, like, for myself, when I'm collecting, even 10 years ago, I couldn't afford the big books. So, mm-hmm. You know, when people would say, well, what do you collect? And I'd be like, well, you know, I mean, I've been there, done that with collecting runs of books.
Right.
So, you know, 10 years ago, I started thinking, I'm just going to buy books that I like the covers of, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and esoteric kind of weird stuff.
Right.
You know,
right.
And, you know, my friends used to even make fun of me. Oh, you're buying that weird comic because, you know, you got Kool-Aid Man crying on it or something
right,
like that. Right,
right.
Just weird stuff like that, right?
Well, covers always had value. Like, if you remember Black Cat Mystery number 50 with the iridium bar cover where the yeah. guy's face is melting off.
Right.
You know, 20 years ago, that was worth way more money than the ones around it. But there, it seemed back then that there were more... very few of them, and they were all very iconic, right,
right? Right.
Whereas now they're, you know, just like 50 years ago in the price guide, you know, if you looked at the run of Spider-Man, there
yeah.
there would be 7 keys throughout the whole thing.
Right.
You know, number 50, the first Kingpin, number 14, the first Green Goblin, 129, the first Punisher. Like,
yeah.
you can almost count them on one hand.
Yeah.
Now there's like 37 key issues yeah. within the run.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing with these unique covers.
Yeah.
They, back then, it was like, you know, out of the whole, I don't know, just use Detective yep. mindlessly. There might have been, you know, 5 iconic covers in the Detective run. Now
yeah.
there's probably 35
yeah.
that everybody are chasing.
And there are
same
of,
thing.
Runs of comics that didn't have any iconic covers
right.
that now do.
Right.
Like, you know, Brenda Starr.
Brenda Starr.
Right.
Yeah, that kind
yeah.
of stuff. Right. Yeah.
Anyways.
So pretty cool. But
New comics not doing very well.
Yeah, new comics at comic shops, the sell through on them has gone down.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it's interesting. It would be interesting to note within each comic shop what the percentages, you know, sales, say Marvel 2 years ago versus Marvel now.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure almost everyone has dropped.
Oh, for
right?
sure. I believe that.
So let's just hope that this legacy thing is done right and turns the ship around a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what? Let's just start with that then. So in case you're new to the show, mm-hmm. we like to talk about new comics every week. And I believe... Oh,
we have a
crickets.
We have a cricket.
Crickets, apparently, at our in our studio here.
I stepped on them.
Well, do we have a sponsor for new this week?
Absolutely do, Chris. New this week... is brought to you by Dunnville, Ontario Tourism. Lots to see if you just keep driving.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. I would say that's probably very true.
You know what? Dunnville is a quaint little town. The reason we are plugging Dunnville in our own way
yeah.
Is Chris and I were in Dunnville.
We were.
Today. We were doing a promo engagement. We were doing a live podcast.
We were.
At the library. But the thing is, we couldn't find it.
We couldn't find the library. So,
and so we had to turn around and come back.
So I thought we better do the regular podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. All so, right. Chris, what do you kind of got for me this week?
Well, the first one I've got up for today is the Avengers number 673. And that's, of course, part of the Legacy edition, right?
Okay. So
Avengers
is up to number 673.
Correct. Yeah. So, wow. I mean, this is going to sound weird because
now is it just the Avengers
no,
now?
No.
Because remember it went. No. I meant like the title. Is it just Avengers?
This is just Avengers.
Because they went to Avenging Avengers,
yeah,
the Amazing Avengers,
Uncanny
Avengers. This is just now pure Avengers.
This
right down the middle. Fastball.
Yeah, because
right down
it's
the
going
middle.
To that legacy thing, right? So
yeah.
they're trying to go back to the basics.
Uh-huh.
Right? So fastball right down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
This is, of course, by Mark Wade, Javier Pena, and Paco Diaz. But with a fantastic cover art by Alex Ross.
Fantastic. Good.
Yeah, so,
okay. So they're putting a little bit of money into this.
Yep. That's right. Well, so what's interesting is, but you know, not only they're going back for the Legacy Edition, they're also going back to, there's a bit of a team up on this one. Cause do you remember the team, the Champions?
Of course I do.
So the Champions is in this as well. So they're really going back to the well on this one. They're really going.
Do you remember? Give me three original Champions characters.
Doctor Strange.
Uh-huh.
Ghost Rider.
Uh-huh.
And Hercules.
Hercules, you're right.
Yeah.
Was Doctor Strange the original?
I don't think so.
Black Widow was.
Black Widow, yeah, that's right.
Maybe Doctor Strange. Wasn't he in a Defender?
Was he? Oh, maybe it was a Defender, yeah.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. Black Widow, then, for sure.
Okay,
yeah,
and
Black
Hercules
Widow, yeah.
and who's the other guy?
Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider, that's right.
Yeah,
all right. All right. That's cool.
Yes.
So what number was that again?
That is Avengers number 673.
And that's available at your local comic book shop today.
That is correct. All right. Next up on the Hit Parade, we've got Captain America number 695.
Whoa. Well, you're telling me that Captain America has more issues printed?
That's what I'm telling you.
Then now, hey, Chris.
Now, you're gonna, I know what you're going to ask me.
Yeah. You know how they do their numbering?
I
they going to start Cap 100 as a number one? You know what I'm saying? You know, with their legacy?
No, I don't think they can.
Well, but the whole thing is adding up the Cap of issue appearances.
But if they were doing that, wouldn't the Golden Age Captain America have to be number one?
Why you got to throw that in my face?
I'm just asking.
I'm asking you.
Well, okay. Let's look at this logically.
Uh-huh.
Logically.
Right.
Okay. So this is Captain America number 695.
Right.
Okay. So the Avengers we just did.
They started way before Captain America did, because Captain America started in 68.
But this is Avengers a higher number.
Avengers started in 60. Yeah.
So
they must be counting the 100.
They have to be counting the Golden Age stuff.
Which is wrong.
Right?
No.
Aren't they?
Or they're counting at 100 as number 100.
Well, then
they started at number 100.
Well, okay, but hold on a second.
Because remember when Avengers ended at 50?
No, I know what they're doing. I know what they're
doing. Okay, what are they doing?
Tales of Suspense.
Yeah, but he was only in 62 of those.
Well, okay, well, hold on. Let's just go back to Avengers here. So this is...
I'm not going to do the math.
Captain America 695. Hold on.
Yeah, but they're...
And Avengers 673. So you're looking
at... Yeah, but they had 5 years apart. They had 60 issues apart. So they kind of cancel.
All right.
But whatever.
Anyways.
So anyway, it'd be interesting. Interesting. I'd have to. I'm sure there's something online. Which Avengers they counted? Because if they go, we're counting the first 502.
Right.
Then there's really only 403.
Right.
All right.
Right.
So they only have to count 403 the way they're doing it in their convoluted way.
That's right.
Of adding them all up.
Which is weird.
Right.
Yeah, I totally agree.
All right.
Okay.
I'm glad you and I got that solved.
We got this all down pat.
Uh huh.
That's right.
All right,
clear
so that is
mud.
Avengers.
We're on Captain America.
695. 695.
Correct.
Is at your local comic book shop.
Wait, I didn't even talk about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's by Mark Waid and Chris Samnee.
Wasn't Mark Waid in the last
one? Yeah. So, which is what I wanted to say. So, Mark Waid is sort of spearheading this whole Avengers Captain America thing. And more importantly, this is part one of Captain America being back in action as like Steve Rogers as Captain America. So if in fact you
so were, Flip Wilson isn't Captain America
Flip,
anymore.
Flip, it's not Sam Wilson.
Oh, sorry, Sam Wilson.
Sam Wilson.
Sorry, Sam
no.
Wilson.
And so no, he's not
Flip Wilson. What was the catch line? What was the catch line of Flip?
I don't remember. I know who it is, but
yeah.
I couldn't tell you.
Remember he had that catch line where he was dressed up as Geraldine?
And he had
that one catch line.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was. Anyways.
All right.
Okay, so anyways, that's Captain America number 695. And if you happen to remember Flip Wilson's famous saying, be sure to email us and let us know.
All right.
Now here's I'm going to talk about one more Marvel book here before
okay,
we go.
Okay.
I got a couple of DCs, but one more Marvel here, and this is something that I don't know if I'm indifferent about this.
Indifferent. All right.
Guardians of the Galaxy number 146.
Woo.
So okay, but now which Guardians of the Galaxy is it? The new Guardians of the Galaxy?
Is it the old Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh. Are they counting the old, original one with...
They're counting the old. Of course they're counting
Vance Astro and, you know, and they must be, right?
Vance, yeah, they are. They're counting for sure. Well, listen...
Charlie 27?
When they count X-Men, they're counting the first 93.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Yeah,
even though, really, that technically they shouldn't be doing that because of all those reprints.
That's right. So yeah, I think they are counting everything, but listen, it's a team concept. Teams can change. Hey, listen though, Avengers, depending on what issue you pick up in their history, they have different characters all the time.
That's very true.
Yeah, so
what do you think the worst member of the Avengers ever was? If you, in your own opinion, this isn't like, I don't have a list or anything here.
Yeah. You know what? Probably Red Tornado.
Yeah, he was terrible.
He just did not belong.
No, boy, did, you know what he, I mean. he really did not belong.
For you?
I don't even know how to respond to that. I was going to say Dr. Druid, but you know,
Dr. Druid?
I would have to say that, yeah.
He's a close second.
Close second to the Red Tornado.
All right.
Sigh. All right, listen. We got to go move on to, we'll do one, possibly two DC books here. Let's talk about, very quickly, let's talk about the, it's a hardcover coming out here. Hardcover, it's called Batman, The Dark Prince, The Dark Prince Charming. This is a hardcover book.
Huh?
Okay, Batman.
Is it Prince Charming the character, or are they calling Batman the Dark Prince Charming?
I think it's Batman the Dark Prince Charming.
So Batman is the Dark Prince
Correct.
Charming.
Correct, yes. And this is by Enrico Marini.
Didn't he do that first book?
No, that would be Mark Waid.
No, you had some Spanish guy.
This is a different guy. So this is acclaimed European comics master.
Ah,
Who apparently did some books called The Eagles of Rome and Le Scorpion.
Ooh.
Makes his American comics debut with an original two-part graphic novel starring the Dark Knight.
Ah.
And this is... I'll read you what it says in the Diamond catalog thing.
It says here,
what secret connection do both Batman and the Joker share with a strange and mysterious young girl? After she's kidnapped by the Joker, Batman must plunge into the underworld of Gotham City and race against time to find out where she's being held. The stakes are high, and for Batman, it's personal.
Walk out. So he's like in love?
I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Prince Charming.
But yeah, so, well, here's the thing. Here's what I don't like about this. And then after that says, watch for Batman the Dark Prince Charming Book 2 coming in spring of 2018.
Oh, would you stop? These European guys, they think they could come in here, produce something, and then just go on a vacation.
Right?
You know, probably somewhere to Nice or somewhere. And then just, you know, waltz around and do nothing until they produce North America, buddy. You gotta one after another.
Right. Keep New it York coming. Minute, buddy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, much too important to be captured.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah. It looks like a good book, but...
Right. Who's going to wait around for the second
Exactly. one? Exactly. Right. So anyway, so there's that one. And
he'll learn.
We'll just do one more quickly here. Let's go with... how about we go with... Oh, here we go. Dead Man, number 1 of 6. Now, this is the Neil Adams one. Hold on. Still last second.
Dead Man, don't wear plaid.
That's right. That's true. Yeah. That's Dead Man. But so Neil Adams is coming back to one of his favorite characters.
Sure is.
This is Journey into Death Part 1, and it's written by Neil Adams, the cover's by Neil Adams, the art is by Neil Adams, everything's by Neil Adams.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's actually good to see Neil Adams doing an ongoing book like
Okay,
Dead,
let me
Dead
ask
Man.
You something. Let me ask you something. In the history of comic books.
Yeah.
It's like history of rock and roll.
Okay.
Right? In the history of comic books, you have these trailblazers, these jet setters, these people that change the industry.
Totally, yeah.
And they're amazing and awesome, and they're your Stevie Wonders producing Inner Visions.
That's right.
They're your Bob Dylans doing Blonde on Blonde. They're
yeah,
your,
yeah.
And then they're 70 years old.
Yeah.
And then you don't want to go to their concerts anymore. Because they're just... And you know what? You want to go for their hits, but when they produce a brand new album, when they
nobody cares.
Nobody cares. So my point is with our buddy Neil Adams.
Yeah.
Is like,
Does anybody really care?
Yeah, I don't know. You know what I'm saying.
Right? You know what? It's a great point. Great point because you know what? Neil Adams, I think I would care about. You know, with going, I'll actually get his Dead Man probably.
Right.
I haven't said for sure yet. But you know, there are some artists that I go back to look at some of their art later on in their years and who, you know, and I just can't. I'm just going to come out and say it. Frank Miller can't draw anymore.
No, he can't draw anymore.
I don't think Frank Miller is the king of all kings. Great Frank Miller.
Yeah.
I've seen some of his artwork and it's terrible.
Well, I'm talking about the king of all kings, Jack Kirby, near the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Even him, right?
It became too stylized, too funky, too, what the heck's going on? Frank Miller the same, you know, and I don't know. But you're right, though. Let's give Neil a chance here with this new Deadman
project. Yeah, give him a chance. Give him a chance. All right, listen, let's have a...
All we are saying
is give Neil a chance. All right, let's have a quick musical interlude here. And then we're going to come back and talk about some industry news. Next up, we've got the Master Technician.
Said it before, Chris, but I'll say it again. Scuba da wow.
Wow, wow.
Who was that laying them skins?
That was, of course, the beautiful Krantz.
Krantz. Lovely. Hey, listen, brings us to industry news. Industry news brought to you by Grand River Cruises, Brantford, Caledonia, Cayuga, and all points in between. Half price drinks between Caledonia and Cayuga.
That's hey, unreal. You don't know that. You don't know that.
Yeah, no, it said on the brochure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that's like a dead stretch there. You really need.
Oh, dear.
There we go.
Hey, listen.
All great towns, by the way. I've been in each one of those towns. Great happening towns.
I spent a week there one day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, we were talking about grading comics earlier and them being in the slabbed or the plastic, as you call it.
No.
So I think we need to quickly talk about
big news.
Big news, I suppose, if you're a collector.
Uh-huh.
So
we all are.
CBCS.
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 Yes.
Okay. So they are a grading company.
That's right.
Much like CGC.
That's right.
So CGC is
the dominant player in the industry.
The benchmark.
That's right.
Right? Nice. And now CBCS was recently bought out by Beckett.
Now, who is an important player in the card industry.
Right.
Grading.
So
right?
Beckett used to publish some monthly magazines about the collectible sports card industry. And they moved into the grading industry as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there used to be, there is PSA.
PSA.
Which is the the benchmark for sports cards.
Okay.
Now Beckett.
Number two?
Number two. Now here's what I want to talk about.
Uh-huh.
So in the sports card industry,
right?
It's sort of a I don't know what you want to call it. It's a known but not talked about fact that Beckett grades a little bit harder than PSA.
Right.
So what you might get as a PSA 9, you might get a Beckett 8.5.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So because they're much harder at grading.
Yes.
Now, maybe that's changed over the years. It's been a while since I've kind of been in that industry. But anyways, that's the way it used to be. Now, having said that, CBCS, would you say is a little easier on grading than CGC?
That seems to be the perception out there in collecting world, but you're going to find examples where you can argue each way.
Right.
Right. And that's just law of averages. Sometimes, believe it or not, scientific procedure, like procedure, itemized procedure to the letter kind of procedural documents that you grade with, if you follow them to a T, there's often some kind of, you know, aesthetic non-variable that you missed that just doesn't come off right.
Right.
So you can do everything by the book.
Yeah.
And it may look like you got the grade wrong, even though you followed the procedure right for whatever reason.
Right.
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 And it's usually some sort of aesthetic reason, like things that they don't factor in, like let's say gloss,
right,
color
right.
strike, centering,
right.
Squareness, all these kind of
stuff
little
that
things.
That really shouldn't add to the value or detract from the
value. Well, it actually should add to the value, but they don't proceduralize it as a
detriment. Right.
So you can have 2 9.6 copies of Amazing Spider-Man number 129, the first appearance of Punisher.
Right.
And there can be a richness in the yellow.
Right.
A variation in the richness in the yellow that really doesn't affect anything structurally.
Yeah.
Or any squareness to it, or any binding, you know, how overbound or underbound it was. Everything else being equal, they're both still going to get 9.6.
Right.
But if you held two in front of you, you'd pick the one that had the glowing yellow versus the bit of the faded yellow.
Right.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So little things like that.
Yeah.
You know, right now, all I can say for sure right now is that, you know, all things being equal, the sum of the CGC generally gets more money on market for the same grade.
Right. Okay. Right. So
that's the most important thing for an investor.
Now
you have to pay more to get your CGC book graded by CGC than you get your CBCS book graded by CBCS.
Right.
I threw too many letters in there, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But the point is usually you're, you know, if you're dealing with a modern book that's worth $30, that might, or $40, you might go CBCS. But if you're dealing with a $1,000 book, that $50, well, I'm just going to make up a number. The $50 extra that you're paying at CBCS may bring you $150 extra on the market.
Right.
So you know what I mean.
Right. So. Okay. So hold on. So now CBCS, which you would say is differently graded than CGC, is bought out by a company that tends to grade a little bit more harshly.
Right.
Do you think that they're going to maybe affect the grades of these new of this new company or this other company?
I think they might. I think what's going to happen here, I think, is I think it, like, remember when CGC last year, a year and a half ago, had that? They came up with those new cases and they didn't have the inner well, but it was squishing the books. And then everybody on the forums and online was going, oh, okay, it's the end of CGC. CBCS is going to just clean them out now.
Right.
And it's like CBCS had that window of this is our chance.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if they did anything wrong.
No.
Like I just think CGC was insulated by favoritism in the market enough that they rode that through. They corrected their cases.
Yeah.
And I honestly think right now the CGC cases are better. They look better.
Right.
They feel stronger.
Well, they probably went back to the well and said, okay, we need to redesign this
right.
a little bit.
Things look more kind of, I don't know if the word professional, but
sharper.
More sharper, you know, kind of things are in the right spot, makes it look important. All that kind of stuff is there at CGC right now and you know, to most people that I've talked to, not at CBCS. So you got two things. One, I think Beckett's going to probably redo the label.
Right.
Probably
redo
the case.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably lean on their probably vaster supply of marketing and advertising.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, try to make it more of a long game to crack a bit more of the market.
Because CGC
isn't going away.
No.
It's a matter of CBCS a la Beckett, you know, I'm making up a number here totally, Chris, but, you know, taking a 9% market share to a 27% market
totally,
share
yeah.
or something.
Yeah,
like that,
yeah,
right?
yeah. No, you I know totally
I
mean? Get so it. Yeah,
this is
yeah.
what they're after now. But yeah. hey, competition's good, so yeah. we'll see.
Now, and I guess I guess you don't really know all the ins and outs yet. But I mean, certainly, if they change their pricing structure or anything like that, that might also help it as well, right? If they make it a little bit cheaper,
I don't think cheaper gets wins the day because they're cheaper right now, and everybody's going to CGC because the market's bringing more into CGC books.
Right, right.
So I think they got to deliver results on the market.
Right.
And then they can charge whatever they want.
Yeah, that's fair.
To
that's
a degree,
fair.
Right?
Yep. All right. Cool. What do we want to talk about here first? Or next, I should say.
Well, it was cool. You told me about this Archie thing. That was kind of
okay,
cool.
Okay, let's talk about that. So So Archie, you know, obviously you're a fan of Archie Comics.
Sure am.
Okay, so Archie Comics in the place, the soda shop that they go to is called Pop's Chocolate Shop. That's uh-huh. where they all kids hang out.
That's
and
right.
Malted milk.
That's right. They loiter.
They loiter. Loiter around.
Uh-huh.
Well, apparently Archie Comics has now registered.
Only guy pulling his weight's Jughead.
Yeah, well, yeah, because he's the one eating all the hamburgers.
Uh-huh.
So apparently Archie Comics has registered a trademark for Pop's Chocolate Shop. And apparently they're thinking about going into actual restaurant services. So you can actually go to a Pop's Chocolate Shop.
So it's like a franchise.
Well, okay, let me
it's like Tim Horton Donut or Dunkin' Donut. It'll be a Pop's Chocolate Shop.
That's right. Well, let me read it to you. So first of all, right now Netflix has that whole Riverdale series,
yeah.
right?
How's that going?
Very well. It's in its second season now. So right. you know, it's going to be in its second season. And it's going very, very well. Lots of fans love it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a...
What is it? Is it like PG-13? Is it adult? Not adult, but
I'd
is it like...
It's like a PG-13.
Right.
So maybe
mature,
a little racier. A little
mature themes.
Mature
yeah.
themes,
okay.
yeah.
Right.
I mean, there's certainly sexual overtones.
Right.
There's,
it's not geared to like little kids.
No. Okay. And there's like, you know, murder mysteries kind of involved.
Right.
It's
right.
kind of like a... What would happen if Twin Peaks and Buffy the Vampire Slayer had, you know,
Scooby-Doo
as a pet. Yeah, that uh-huh. kind of whole thing. Like it's kind of a little more adult oriented, but a little okay. mystery, a little bit of weird. But apparently,
and I would have got away with it too.
So
if it wasn't for that damn love triangle.
So Netflix opened up a series of what they call pop-up shops. So not to be confused with Pop's Chocolate Shops,
uh-huh.
but pop-up shops, if you don't know what those are like temporary structures that some companies open up just for a short period of time. Just
that
to
be like
promote
in a,
something.
like in a van, like in one of those food trucks.
A little bit more secure than that.
Okay,
maybe they'll take over like a corner of like a corner store or something like that, and actually refab it or refurbish uh-huh. it. So anyway, Netflix opened up a series of pop-up shops in Canada. Thank you, Canada, to promote the second season of the show. And it's basically a replica of the one that they had on the TV show.
Right.
So now, presumably, Archie Comics wanted to make sure that Netflix doesn't keep a grip on this in the future. So now Archie is actually registering the Pop's Chocolate Shop name.
Uh-huh.
Now, as this article on, I think it was on Bleeding Cool said, one of the rules about trademarks is that if you lose it if you don't use it.
Right.
Right? So right. now that they've registered this name, does this mean they're actually going to come out with real chocolate shops?
Oh.
Right? Because if not, somebody else might.
Right. I get
and
it.
And Archie doesn't want to lose that.
I get it.
So
yeah.
I suppose maybe if you have at least one, you can't, nobody else
right.
can do it.
Right. Right.
So maybe they'll have it in Hollywood like, studios or something,
right?
Like that.
Or in a mall that the Laura Secord out and put that in
exactly.
Like
that. So
that's
I was,
cool.
So
yeah, that is pretty cool.
This makes me wonder though, uh-huh. what other kinds of restaurants or chains could they possibly come up with? Like what other kind of places could they have? Like
they could have like a Chew franchise.
A Chew franchise.
Yeah.
So
isn't that where like they eat people or cannibals or something?
Well, sort of. So in Chew, uh-huh. it's a detective that eats, you know, the remains of other people to have like a psychic premonition.
That's right.
So yeah. So what you're saying is you think that they should open up restaurants where they serve people?
No, not at all. Have a Chew concept, but maybe have it with animals.
Oh, like burgers or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah. Like and then you try to figure over what the cow was thinking in the last day or something.
I don't know. A little message from that or something?
A little message from the cow. Okay. All right.
I think that, you know, okay, let's just take it one step back for a second.
Beep, 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 beep. Boop.
Do you remember, I don't know if you, did you ever read Kingdom Come by Alex Ross and
Mark Waid?
Yes, I did. Alex Ross and Mark Waid, you know, they had that series come out, and then they had the slipcase edition. And in the back of the slipcase edition, or the trade paperback, I'll call it, there was, I think that was where it was. Anyways, could have just been the last issue. They had the last few pages, and it was sort of like a summary of what was happening. And Clark Kent and Diana Prince, who are Superman and Wonder Woman, they meet up with Bruce Wayne at a Planet Krypton.
Right.
And that's Planet Krypton is a restaurant much like Planet Hollywood.
Right.
But it was all done up like superhero stuff.
Uh-huh.
Why not have an actual Planet Krypton restaurant?
Perfect.
Right? Yeah. I'd go to it.
Yeah.
It looked awesome in the
thing
comics.
Is, it would have to be a Warner Brothers project.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And Marvel could have something like theirs.
Marvel could have, I don't know, like the Daily Bugle.
The Bullpen.
Yeah. Right,
or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Planet Ragnarok or Planet Hulk. Or Planet Hulk or something cool like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to Asgard.
But I don't know. I mean, you're right. Like, and they can theme the, you know what? We're going to get the next story we're going to get into. My good friend, Fadi Hakim, who runs Chapter House Publishing.
Right.
Canada's biggest comic book publisher. He had a love affair with comics when he was a kid, younger, and when he went into businesses in restauranting.
Right.
He had a restaurant, the Lakeview in Toronto, great little dive that you can go and eat well. He was such a Captain Canuck fan.
Yeah.
That he had, you know, on the kids' menu.
Oh yeah.
He had the Captain Canuck burger.
Oh, that's awesome.
He had the Captain Canuck burger.
Look at that. That's amazing.
And that was like a staple of his menu.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was on his thing. So like what I'm saying is even on like a local level, shopkeeps and restaurateurs are channeling their love for something
totally
into their business, right?
Yep, yep.
And he had that you know, Captain Canuck burger, and he had the Captain Canuck kids meal and all that kind of stuff, and it worked for him. So
that's awesome.
You know, I guess what I'm saying is why not? Right?
Yeah,
why
totally.
Not? Why not take it to the next level and have, you know, Marvel themed restaurants and DC themed restaurants?
I would love that.
And then have them across the street from each other,
and
then food fight.
That'd
be cool, eh?
I got Spidey sauce in my eye.
Oh my god, is that Spidey sauce?
No.
Don't ask. All right.
Listen.
Okay.
Okay. Next up, do we have a musical interlude?
We'll have a musical interlude, right, and then we'll talk about Captain Canuck.
Quick musical interlude here. What do we want to listen to this time? Let's go for, I don't know, how about The Underground Swing?
Nice, Chris. Hey, the next segment of Industry News is brought to you by Grand River Tourism.
Oh, again.
Featuring the Grand River Delta. It's like the Mississippi Delta, but smaller. But hey, size doesn't matter.
That's true.
All right.
Yeah.
Good, okay.
You know what? Again, good for the Grand River to be thinking that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. Listen, let's... okay, well, you know what? Let's talk about Captain Canuck.
Yeah, let's talk about Captain Canuck.
We talked about Captain Canuck. So this is, to me, this is a very interesting story because they're not the first people to be doing this of late.
Uh-huh.
comic books who are being published by Chapter House,
yes,
are now going to be reduced in price to
$1.99.
So this means that now you can buy Captain Canuck or Northgard or whatever they happen to be selling that is normally a little bit more expensive, and now they're dropping their superhero titles to $1.99. Now, this seems to be in the same vein but different as that company that's going to all the different Barnes and Nobles,
yeah,
and all
with
that
the pulp
stuff.
Paper.
Pulp paper and all that kind of stuff. They're making comic books a little bit more affordable for people that want to read that stuff, right?
Right.
Which is great because you know what? I got to say, you know, $3.99 for a comic book that you're going to read in 20 minutes. It's, you know, I can go rent a movie for $6 and get 2 hours worth of out of entertainment for it, or I can buy a comic book for $3.99 and get 20 minutes worth of entertainment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I got a few things. I mean, this is such a hot tamale topic. I got a few things I want to talk about this topic. One is publishing. Comic book publishing has never been a cash cow, really.
No.
Maybe in the 40s or whatever, but it's never been a cash cow. It's always been about getting your property, your licensed property, out into the popular culture.
Right.
And so the end game should be to get that licensed property into most people's hands.
Right.
Because that's the property that can then be merchandised, marketed, you know, sold to merchandisers, having, you know, things like film or TV series is produced, where the money is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think a cost analysis would probably go, well, listen, we're not making any money anyway because it's print.
Right.
And we're getting – I'm just making up numbers here. We're getting our book into the hands of 3,000 people by not making any money and having a fan base of 3,000.
Yeah.
Well, if we go to $1.99, maybe we're getting into the hands of 6,000 people making the same amount of money, which is either losing a little bit or making a little bit.
Right.
Irrelevant, right?
Yep.
So in that sense – it makes sense.
Totally.
In terms of, let's get this into as many hands as possible. Like I said, print is not the cash driver of the business.
No.
The property itself and the other licensed vehicles.
So if you want to get your name out there anyways.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if you're already
not making money, you might as well make money. No money.
So $1.99 makes sense. But, you know, and I love everybody at Chapter House. I've been involved to some degrees with Chapter House over the years.
Yep.
Great group of people, all hardworking people. The creative teams are fantastic, you know. And I'm just saying this honestly. Like,
yep.
They can put, you know, 9 cents on their books, but if they're not delivering their books on time,
right? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
You're right.
And so this is where Chapter House has to shore up.
Right.
And they're improving and everything. But when you're, you know, that initial run of Captain Canuck in our shop, you know, and then, you know, it's like it stings a little bit because, oh my God, Chris, when Captain Canuck, the Calman Captain Canuck, the number one Captain Canuck that came out a couple years ago, I'm gonna lie, but it probably had like, you know, 40 subs for that. You know, subscribers. It's like, I want it. And, you know, issue 2, 3 comes out. It was well received, well read.
And then
5 months late. And then, oh my gosh.
And then who cares?
Yeah. It's like, so, yeah, guys, put it to $1.99. That'll do well. But deliver your flipping product to market on time.
You have to capitalize on momentum.
That's right. Yeah. And you combine it with the price drop. You combine it with a great, strong creative teams that they do have.
Totally.
We know those guys. You and I know all those guys. Yep. And they're talented people.
Awesome
they can
guys.
Deliver.
Yep.
Okay. So you got a great price point. You got a great product. You deliver it on time.
Yep.
I smell success.
That's right.
Right? Yep. So let's get a move on, guys. And,
well,
and
you
I
know
think,
what? I mean, and as far as a business goes, any business,
right?
You have to do something well, right? Because you can't have a crappy product,
right?
But whatever it is, you have to do something well. But then you have to do it well again, and then do it well again, and again, and again, and again, and again.
But doing that well again and again and again and again and again at what seems to be, you know, treading water,
yeah,
is only treading water on that part of Endeavor. It's almost like a loss leader. It's almost like it's almost like Sobeys, you know, selling milk at cost to get you in.
Totally, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But so these guys say, hey, you know what? We have a great product and we have a lot of fans. And then when they shop, I'm, you know, I'm making stuff up, obviously, but when they shop a TV series or a movie, it's like, hey, you know, we've got a massive fan base.
Right.
You know, we can, you know, do this.
Yeah.
And then the guys will go, oh, yeah, you know what? You do have a massive fan base.
That's right.
You know, you do have a lot of people on your website. You do have a lot of people buying your books monthly.
That's right.
You do have a good following. So we're going to be a little bit more secure on doing this other media adaptation of your character because we know that you have a built-in fan base
already. Right. Yeah, perfect.
So,
yep. No,
so
I
good.
Agree.
Good for good. Captain Canuck. Good Very move. Good. Good bold move. Hey, and their graphic novels will be $9.99.
Yeah, which is cheap too.
Yes.
So that's good.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. Good news from Captain Canuck.
Yeah, now speaking of fan
Chapter
base.
House, sorry.
Speaking of fan base, you know who apparently happens to have a lot of fans, and that's the New York Comic Con.
Woo!
New York Comic Con. That is. Has a lot of fans. So the 2017 New York Comic Con had 200,000 paid visitors over the course of 4 days.
Gee, 200,000. Flipping.
200,000.
Chris.
200,000.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Chris, me and the illustrious, the one, the only, Shecky Feldstein.
Yes.
We set up at the New York Comic Con in 2016.
Right, I remember that.
So last year.
Yeah.
And they had 180,000 at that year, and that was the world record.
Yeah.
Right? We got to remember that the San Diego Comic-Con caps out at around 135 because of
its size.
The size of the
venue.
The venue,
yeah.
Right? But New York, but that's more of a vehicle for press releases and movie stars and stuff like that. New York Comic-Con is more like a pure joy indie producer, fan, cosplay guys. I mean, it's New York City, right?
Yeah.
And so I can see them going up 10%. That makes sense. It's just such a monster, and it's just such a, you know, in all this, how can I say this? In all this kind of sea of, you know, local comic shop bad news. You know,
right.
You and I are here every week to support the local comic shop. And all this sea of local comic shop, oh, Marvel sales are down, local comic shop sales are down because of, you know, whatever, Marvel. It's nice to see that, you know, just fandom in general is so strong. The New York Comic Con is just like the front-running event. Reed Promotions?
Reed Pop, yeah.
Yeah, they are just, you know, just kicking butt with this. Now, I have independent news on Reed. So they perhaps just they didn't know what the hell to do with all their
Probably
money.
Probably not, no.
Right? So they bought the English Comic Cons.
Oh,
the,
did they really?
The big England promoter
with
the flagship London Comic Con.
Right, right.
They had London, Manchester, and a bunch of other ones.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be like Wizard World of England.
But
right?
They don't call it, there's no label to it all.
I think it's MCM or something like that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Some M Comic something.
Right.
So Reed has bought them.
Oh my goodness.
As of last week.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is I think that London Comic Con is going to turn into
It could be enormous.
Obviously bigger than it is now, cuz obviously Reed is like the flagship promoter.
Yeah. Right? Well, now so because now it used to be the San Diego Comic Con was the biggest one in North America.
Uh-huh.
Now New York clearly is.
Right. New York by far, almost double.
Yeah, and not only that, so right now the New York one is a 4-day convention,
uh-huh.
and they're thinking about making it a 5-day convention.
Which means 250,000 visitors next year.
Correct.
Yeah.
250,000 people going into that convention center.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's craziness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's incredible, really.
That's fantastic.
So, and you know what? Okay, so here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
So people might say, well, why would you want to go to that show? Like, you know, they're making it, let's say they make it a 5-day convention. They make it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
And you can say, well, the days to be would be Saturday, Sunday. Well, maybe. But you know what? There are going to be a lot of people that will want to go there on the Wednesday and Thursday.
Uh-huh.
The bulk of the crowds will probably be there on the Saturday, Sunday.
They're every day.
But I think they're every day.
Every day.
But if you wanted to go on like on a non busy day, which probably
there is no non-busy day,
but
Chris.
But I liken it to, you know, Fan Expo.
Uh-huh.
Fan Expo Saturday is busier than Friday.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, to a degree. Yeah,
to a degree.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm guessing. I mean, I've only been to the New York Comic Con once, but I'm guessing that Saturday will be not or will be busier than, say, the Thursday.
But I think you're talking about 100% versus 95%. Okay. Honestly, you are. It's just so – I mean, Manhattan is Manhattan. There's always somebody on vacation in Manhattan.
Yeah, right?
You know, it's just so huge. And people will take their vacations for this show.
Totally.
And the funny thing about that show, I don't even know if they count outside venues. Like, Shecky and I would have to walk to our hotel. So it's on, like, 11th Avenue and, like, 30-something. So, you know, we walk – toward 10th, 9th. I think we were on like 7th Avenue or something like that, and 30-something. So, but as we were walking back to the hotel, we walked past a couple of really big buildings.
Okay.
That had massive lineups on them.
Really?
And they were like Comic-Con lineups. Oh. So they were lineups of panels that couldn't get room outside, at the Javits Center.
Outside of the convention
That's
center.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, they were massive panels, right? Wow. So, and I know, you know, you and I talked about, you know, Beckett earlier,
yeah,
and CBCS, and the big, you know, in the comic collecting community, the big thing was this year at the New York Comic Con was CBCS is not allowed into the Javits Center.
Really?
Because CGC has exclusivity.
Oh.
So this is like a conflict, like a competition conflict.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
CBCS actually had to set up on an outside building. If you haven't pictured that.
Yeah.
And then in CBCS's press release, it's like, you know, we're all about fair competition and stuff, and rightfully so.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, we totally disagree with Reed's excluding us from the floor.
Right.
That type of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine, you know, I mean, can you imagine Metropolis Comics, you know, one of the big players in comic books, and let's say Harley Yee,
yeah,
God love him, one of the big comic book dealers and all those kind of stuff. Can you imagine if they had the power to go and say, hey, you know what?
We want to be the only
dealer. We don't want that dealer or that dealer coming into the floor to, you know, that's bad for the
terrible.
For the clientele.
It's terrible,
It's bad for the clientele.
That's right,
So Reed, you know, should get up off of it and allow CBCS slash Beckett onto the floor.
And you know what? Now that they have Beckett behind them, they probably will have to.
Yeah, let's hope so.
I would hope so. Yeah, wow. That's amazing. I think it's time for another road trip in our future. But before we do that, let's have a quick musical interlude here. Here's one that, you know, I don't know why, but we never really play it.
You play On the Road Again.
On the Road Again. How about we play this?
No. I'll go to the country.
Yeah, sure. How about we play this one instead?
Spins a web, any size, catches thieves, just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud, he's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives. Just in time, Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, wealth and fame, he's ignored, action is his reward to him, life is a great big bang, wherever there's a hang, you'll find the Spider-Man.
And that's nice. Really one of the greatest...
Of all time.
Greatest theme songs of all time.
All right, listen, the end of the industry news is brought to you by... The Dunville Dinner Jacket. Smart, snazzy, and warm.
And versatile.
Whether you're at the rink or at the restaurant, nothing says class like the Dunville Dinner Jacket. All right.
Oh, goodness.
There we go.
Oh. I've had people in my life try to buy me those before, by the way. Just saying.
You know, that's the local take on, of course, the Kenora dinner jacket.
That's right.
Now, which one do you go use more?
Well, you know what?
I've only heard the two.
I've also only heard the two.
Yeah. Now, for you Americans listening that aren't in the know, that would be the classic lumberjacket.
Yeah,
which we up here call... The Dunville Dinner Jacket.
Dunville Dinner
Jacket. Or the Kenora Dinner Jacket.
So if you can imagine your famous, you know, plaid-ish type overcoat, work coat kind of thing. For those of you who aren't too sure what it is, usually some sort of padding on the inside. So yeah, so anyways, we only have about 5 minutes left here. So we do got to get going here on this.
Time is flying.
I do want to talk about Thor.
Thor.
I'm so Thor.
Thor. Sorry about Thor. That.
Thor Ragnarok has already come out in overseas markets.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out this weekend for its North American debut. But it's already outperforming Guardians of the Galaxy. Performing. It's already outperforming Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Thor Ragnarok already has $107 million with international box office sales to date.
Nice. So okay.
It's doing very, very well.
Okay.
Now, hold on a second here.
Now.
Hold on a second.
Hold on.
We have... It had made $15.8 million in the United Kingdom, $15.5 million in South Korea, $8.5 million in Australia, and $8.3 million in Brazil, and of course all kinds of other places in the around the world. But it's doing very, very well everywhere.
Crikey!
It's only opened up to about 50% of its anticipated theaters.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be blockbusters.
Right. It's going to be big.
So I think we need to have Danny Champion.
Danny Champ. He has go to go.
Go to the theater.
To go to London, England.
And let us know what he thinks.
And let us know what he thinks. Danny, let us know what the British... Because they got the stiff upper lips.
I say.
Yeah. I say, you with the stiff upper lip.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think of Thor Ragnarok. Because I know the British... Between me and you, Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
Glad nobody's listening.
Yeah, no, nobody is.
But the British have always had kind of like a thing for the Norse.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, those
true.
Norse, they yeah. think they're all blonde and everything, right? Yeah. So the British have always had kind of like
But they're also a little bit uptight.
Yeah, they are.
So, you know, I don't know if they're going to like Ragnarok. Like, that's the end of everything.
They're you're
like,
right.
It may be
you're
too
right.
much for them.
But I think... Okay, what's your take on Thor with the short hair?
You know what?
What's up with that?
I'm going to save my. I'm gonna save any comments until I actually see the movie. Because maybe there's a reason for it.
Right.
Maybe like he had to get like a haircut for some reason. Like
cancer.
You know.
Yeah,
who knows, right? Maybe. Right. Yeah, maybe he's giving his hair to
you know, yeah, for, like a charity.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, exactly.
Shave bald or something.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, I don't know, like. Odin just didn't like it. He said, hey, get a haircut or get a job.
Right,
said,
get a job.
Okay, yeah,
I'll get a haircut. Yeah. Or maybe Sif did something.
Maybe, you never know.
Listen, though.
Listen.
Yeah, maybe, what's her name? Miss Foster. Maybe she shaved
Jane
him.
Foster?
Yeah, maybe she shaved
You never know. Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
So.
Maybe, he no longer has a hairy chest.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, I guess my point on Thor is like, on all the Marvel movies, how can I say this? Like, they're formulatic. Is that the right
formulaic.
Word? Formulaic.
Yeah.
Thank you. Formulaic, but who cares if, this A, they're entertaining and fun, and, B, they deliver box office results.
Totally.
Right? Like, I think gone are the days of a superhero movie surprising you. Gone are the days of like the very first Spider-Man, $200 million over the first weekend. It's like, what the hell just happened? Or gone are the days of that first Avengers one where it's like, oh my God, all the great actors in the thing.
All in one.
I got to go see this.
Yeah.
And so gone are those days. It's not like one superhero movie is just going to like be an outlier.
No.
They're all, but Marvel's got it down to a T where your Caps, your Iron Mans, your Thors, your Avengers, your you know, that's like, they're going to do well.
But you know what? But what they still mean, because remember, Guardians of the Galaxy was sort of
Guardians
fluke.
Of the Galaxy,
but like, I mean, they still have to have a good storyline with good acting and good stories but and good
they
special
can do
effects.
That.
Totally.
Marvel, Disney can do that.
They can, but not everybody's doing that, because look at what happened with, you know, some of the other DC movies. Right?
By the way, I saw Wonder Woman.
And what'd you think of it?
I liked it.
Yeah?
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
No, I thought Wonder Woman was really good.
It's a good movie. Good movie. I didn't think it was amazing, but I thought it was good.
But I enjoyed it. Like, it was a good, solid movie.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Listen, so, hey, Thor Ragnarok opens up, is it next weekend or this weekend?
This weekend coming up.
So, hope to see you guys there. Hey, that's all the time we have for the show. Comic Culture was produced, engineered, and written by Chris Owen today. We're at comicbookdaily.com.
And Walter Jallia.
GetThePointRadio.com.
Yeah.
And We're always on CFMU 93.3, Hamilton's award-winning radio station.
Because of us.
Thanks to us.
Thank you very much.
Yes, booyah. Please go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a wonderful day.